As Father mentioned, my name is Deacon Stephen Helferty, and I'm studying for the priesthood for the Diocese of Pembroke. I can tell you a little bit of my story. When I was growing up, priests would say to me, "You ever think about being a priest?" And I'd just sort of try and crawl into a corner or run away. And my mother said the same thing to me, but I tried to ignore it as much as I could. And after high school, I decided I wanted to study music, and I went off and studied at Carleton University, did a four-year degree there. But then something was still calling in the back of my mind. And I began to hear that voice again. And so somehow, it's a mystery to me still, but somehow I said, yes, I will investigate this call. And so I went to see the Bishop of Pembroke. He said, "I'll send you to St. Philip's Seminary in Toronto." And I come from, like I said, the Diocese of Pembroke, a very small farming community called Douglas. And so the big city of Toronto was pretty intimidating for me. But I set off and began my philosophy studies, and I loved it there at St. Philip's. And then after 2 years there, I was sent to St. Augustine's. And then just last June, June 11th, I was ordained to the diaconate. And God willing, this coming June, I'll be ordained to the priesthood. It's a mystery to me that I could find great joy in this calling, and yet, absolutely, this is the case. I found great joy on following this path this far. Today we celebrate the Epiphany. The word Epiphany, it's a Greek word. It means a showing forth, a manifestation. And there's also this other sense of the word, a shining of light upon something. And more specifically, we're celebrating the Epiphany of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It's not only to the Jews that Christ came. It was first of all to them, but through them to all the nations of the earth. And this is what St. Paul is so excited about in that second reading we heard, when he says, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs with us. The promise had been made to the Jews, but it was not just for them. It was for all nations, all peoples. All the peoples were in darkness, this sort of twofold darkness, the darkness of ignorance and the darkness of sin. Darkness of ignorance. We didn't know quite who God was. Through reason, perhaps, certain people came to understand that God existed, but they didn't really understand who he was. And this is one of the darknesses that Christ came to fix, to shine his light upon. For in Jesus Christ, we see God himself. And so we come to understand who God is, and actually we come to understand who we are, because he took on our humanity and lived a perfect human life. And also our sin. We were in the darkness of sin. Who we are is beings made to be in union with God, but because of our sin, that was impossible. And so Christ came and shed light upon this darkness. He took our sin upon himself and paid the price on the cross. This is the darkness the first reading spoke of. The darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But then the reading goes on to explain that the light has shone upon the Jewish people in Jesus Christ, is what it's ultimately anticipating. But also that all the Gentiles will come and share in that light. And all of this epiphany, this manifestation of the light of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles is there symbolized in the Magi. The Magi, these wise Gentiles, these wise men coming to search for truth. They had searched for truth through philosophy. They had searched for truth trying to understand the world by looking at nature, using their reason. And this brought them to truth. But it wasn't enough, and so they were still searching. They were searching the skies. They were searching the stars. And something there appeared. This star, which was a sign which led them to Jerusalem and ultimately to Bethlehem. There they found the truth that they had been seeking. They found truth, and they found that truth was not just something to be understood, but it was a person. It was that little baby. Later, he would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So they found truth that they had been seeking for, but they were perhaps surprised to find that it was not just a proposition, not just something they could think about, but it was someone that they could actually bow down and adore. It was someone they could have a relationship with. It was someone they could offer their gifts to. But what does all of this mean for us? What's the significance of Epiphany today? Why are we still celebrating it 2,000 years later? What does Epiphany mean for me? A few things, I think. First of all, today we celebrate this manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Most of us here, probably all of us here, were not born Jews. And so this is our own personal feast day, that Christ has shone his light upon our sins and that he has brought us out of our ignorance. So today we celebrate with great joy. Today is also an opportunity for us to ask ourselves, do we seek truth? We can seek truth in many ways. In the ways that the Magi had searched for truth. Philosophy, looking at nature, trying to understand the world, trying to understand the way people work, psychology, all the human sciences. But ultimately, do we seek truth where it is most profoundly to be found? Do we seek the truth, a relationship with the truth, which is not a proposition to be understood, but is a person to enter into relationship to love and to serve? The Magi had searched through their philosophical pursuits, through looking at the stars and studying, but we know where we can find truth already. We know that we can encounter the truth in the sacraments. In the sacraments, we encounter Jesus Christ. We know that we can encounter truth in the scriptures. That darkness of ignorance is lifted when we read the scriptures, when we come to understand who God is. We know we can encounter the truth, that person, Jesus Christ, in prayer. And hopefully we know that we can even encounter the truth in every moment of our lives. For in every moment, we have the opportunity to live in union with God, simply carrying out those tasks that we know we are called to carry out. The menial tasks of everyday life, simply a glance to the Lord, an interior glance of the mind and the heart. Lord, I seek to do your will, and I do this action in union with your will. That is an encounter with the truth, who is a person. And finally, on Epiphany, we might ask ourselves, when we do encounter the truth, when we do come to the sacraments, to Scripture, to prayer, do we offer our worship as the Magi did? And do we offer him our gifts? At every Mass, following the Liturgy of the Word, right after the readings, the homily, the creed, and the universal prayer, the petitions, is the offertory. And here, every Sunday, we have the opportunity to make an offering of ourselves. The priest receives the bread and the wine, and he is preparing a sacrifice, the sacrifice which becomes the sacrifice of Calvary. And at that same moment, while the priest is preparing that sacrifice of bread and wine, we are invited to offer the sacrifice of our lives. All of those concrete actions that we took throughout the week, those actions of charity toward neighbor, our time we set aside for prayer, the sufferings we endured, all of these things we can make an offering of at the offertory of the Mass. That's why the priest says, "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father." He is preparing that sacrifice of bread and wine, and we are preparing and offering that sacrifice of our lives. And so on this great feast of the Epiphany, let us first of all give thanks to God for including all of us, Jews and Gentiles, in his plan of salvation. Let us continue to seek an encounter with truth, who is a person, an encounter with him in the sacraments, in the Scriptures, in our prayer, and in every moment of our lives. And let us offer him our worship and the gift of a holy life lived in accordance with his will.